My title of today's message, if you're taking notes, is The Waiting Zone. The Waiting Zone. So before we start a scripture, I just want to share Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And I just want to share that today, if we do not give up. Hey, could we close our eyes and quickly pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to stand on behalf of you today in your house, Jesus, and speak to your sons and speak to your daughters. Lord, I just pray, God, that you use my tongue, that you use my mouth, Holy Spirit, to speak directly to each and every single heart today, Lord. Father, I pray each and every single person, no matter what are on their journey, no matter where they're at the moment right now, Jesus, God, that your word will ignite on the inside of them this morning, Jesus, God, that they'll leave with a fresh revelation of who you are and who you're for, Jesus, Lord. We just give you all the honor and the praise. And everybody said, amen, amen. Fantastic. Well, the waiting zone. Now, give us a quick raise of your hand. Is who can be quite a bit of an impatient person? If I wasn't holding a microphone, I'd raise two hands right now because I'm quite an impatient person. And that's okay. Have you ever found yourself in a season of waiting before? I'm sure many of us can answer that. And what a season of waiting may look like, that may be, maybe you're waiting for a specific miracle. Maybe you're waiting for some a healing in your body or in a family or friend's body. Maybe you're believing for financial breakthrough. Maybe you're believing for a family member to come back to Christ and it hasn't come to pass yet and you find yourself in the waiting zone. For me, for those that don't know, I originally moved from the Sunshine Coast just over 4 years ago now, which is crazy, to help Pastor Dan and Ed plant this location. And to be honest with you, I've shared this a few times. If I haven't, I'm sorry. But when I moved here, I was only supposed to be here for 12 months. I was our production leader at the time, and my job was to come down here, raise a production team, and then go back to the Sunshine Coast or Brisbane where the rest of my family lived. And that was 4 years ago. As we all know, this thing starting with a C happened, COVID, and it kind of put my plan into shambles. So I found myself in a waiting zone, going, God, you've called me to Melbourne to help plant this production team, but here I am sitting in my room. I am the production team because I can't leave my house. How am I supposed to raise a team if everything's on Facebook and YouTube? So I was stuck in the waiting zone, going, God, why? And you know, there'd be some times in my house, and the truth is I moved down from the Sunshine Coast. I was a venue manager of a bar and a grill, like a restaurant type thing. And so my plan was to move to Melbourne, serve in church and work in the hospitality industry. That was my plan. Of course, with COVID, no restaurants were open. And so I had no job. I was working at church one day a week doing the online, which was a blessing in disguise. But I was in that waiting zone going, God, what are you doing? I didn't know the answer. I was wasn't in control because it was COVID. We're not in control of that. But I was in a waiting zone. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord." Another version of that scripture says, "Don't give up, don't be impatient, be entwined as one with the Lord, be brave, courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting for he will never disappoint you." The Hebrew word in this scripture is, and I'm sorry if I'm going to pronounce this wrong, korva. And the word korva has two meanings. One is simply to wait, and the second meaning is to bind together or to entwine. So I get that image of when I'm waiting with God, I obviously wait with him, but I get the image of a stranded cord. It's us entwining with Jesus, never to have to do the waiting alone, never have to do it alone, or, you know, we're doing it and God's watching us waiting. But it's God being entwined with us as one, as we're in that. 4 years later, what I thought was the plan, what I thought my waiting period would look like. And can I say, I'm a testament to this scripture that he did not disappoint. I'm so grateful that 4 years later, I'm here for good. I'm not going back to the Sunny Coast anytime soon. I found an incredible job. I found an incredible fiance. I found incredible purpose in the house. And so in my waiting season, what I look like, what it looked like to me, but what Jesus ended up doing, it will never disappoint you. See, waiting is an essential part of life, and it's something we encounter repeatedly in our walk with Christ. But are you in a waiting zone right now? See, there's so many examples in the Bible of people waiting, And it goes from, and just a couple just to mention, you know, Abraham and Sarah waited for a son. So did Rachel and Hannah. Moses waited to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Joshua waited for the promised land. Ruth waited for a husband. That'll speak to someone. I don't know why I said that. Bless you. I thought of absolutely no one in that moment. Job waited for the suffering to end. Paul waited to be released from prison. David waited to become king. And someone we're going to quickly talk about today is Joseph waited for a promotion. See, we read in Genesis chapter 37, we're not going to read the whole thing today because it's chapters 37 to 50, and I thought I'd save you from reading 13 chapters. But essentially, the story of Joseph, he goes and he talks, and Joseph, he was the son of Jacob, and Jacob was the favorite son. So Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. Jacob loved him the most. And resulting in that, Joseph's brothers didn't like him very much at all. Joseph was a dreamer. He had dreams that everyone, including his brothers and sisters and his brothers and his parents, would bow down to him. And the brothers didn't take that super nicely. But I believe that Joseph's season of waiting started in Genesis 37, verse 26 to 28. And it says, Judah said to his brothers, which is one of the brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother? This is right after they've led him out to the where the sheep are to essentially plan to kill him. And he said, his brother Judah says, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood, and his brothers agreed. So when the midnight merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern that they threw him in and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. I believe wholeheartedly that that is when Joseph's season of waiting begun. The moment his brothers sold him into slavery, they sold him to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. He then ended up getting sold to Potiphar. He was serving in Potiphar's house. And at the time of being sold by his own brothers, he was 17 years of age. See, Joseph ended up in the household of Potiphar, who was the officer of Pharaoh. He was serving in the house and he ended up being quite well known in the house, and he was put to lead the servants. He was in charge of the servants. But then Joseph was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he was thrown into prison. But in prison, Joseph would interpret dreams of prisoners, and eventually he'd interpret the dreams of Pharaoh that was having, Pharaoh being the ruler of Egypt at the time. See, 2 years pass on between the end of chapter 40 and chapter 41, if you go home and read it. So it's roughly 10 to 12 years of Joseph's life where he spent either in Potiphar's house or in prison. And it's likely that the majority of that time he was in prison. See, many of us grow tired waiting a day, waiting a day or two, waiting a week, or waiting a month for God to show tangible answers to our prayers. Joseph had to wait 12 years to be stuck in the season of waiting. If you're in a season of waiting this morning, we can take comfort from Joseph's life. Impressed by Joseph's wisdom, Pharaoh appointed him second in command all over Egypt. 12 years later, when Joseph's season of waiting ended. Crazy story at the end of chapter 41 and when you read it. But Joseph's season waiting ended. And at the result of it, there was a greater blessing than he ever thought. He ended up being commander over Egypt. He was the second in charge. But why? What is the purpose of waiting? Wouldn't life be easy if we didn't have to wait? How awesome would life be if we prayed for something and instantly it was resolved? How good would that be? But also how frustrating would that be? We wouldn't have much of a faith if everything we prayed for just happened. It gives us room to rely on the Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this thought today. And if you're taking notes or you just want to take one thing from today's message, it's this simple sentence that God is working in our waiting. He is not idle. He is orchestrating a perfect plan for our lives. In Isaiah 40 verse 31, it reminds us of this, but it says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up in wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. See, waiting can feel like a desert season. You're stuck in it, a time of uncertainty, a time of doubt, even a time of frustration. But let me assure you, friend, God is working in your waiting. He is not idle. He is orchestrating his perfect plan for your life, for my life. God is at work in our waiting. So today I want to share, if that's cool, five things that happen in the waiting. if we have time. We'll see how we go for the fifth one. And my prayer for us today, that the Holy Spirit will reveal something to each and every single one of us, that whether you may be in a season of waiting right now, or whether, I hate to break it to you, or whether it's coming, because it most likely will. But these five things, I want you to take home any of them, or one that just speaks to you, and unpack it with God later. And I pray that the Holy Spirit reveals to you those ones. Our first one, the first thing that happens in a season of waiting is prayer. We need to pray. See, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they were waiting to be released from prison. In Acts 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. In seasons of waiting, we need to talk with God. We need to plead with him. We even need to thank him, cry with him, talk with him, be in intimacy with Jesus, commune with him. In Acts verse 16, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, I believe there is so much power in praise when we're in the season of waiting. Because often we're in the season of waiting, we're stuck because we're not to the end yet. We don't know the result. And often it's hard to see the good things of what's going on when we've been stuck in the waiting. Even I know some of us in this room today that you've been stuck in a season of waiting that's lasted for years. And the last thing you want to do is thank Jesus for it. But friend, can I tell you that there is power in our praise. Sometimes we don't know the words of what to say, and that's completely fine. You just go and say, God, you know how I feel right now. God, I know this mountain in front of me is huge. God, I know that this wall in front of me is huge, but thank you. And I go through these seasons like this when we come into a season of waiting, especially when things are out of our control and we can't physically do anything. But we can come in that place and go, God, I know you've got my back. God, I know there's a massive brick wall in front of me right now, but God, I thank you that I'm your son. God, I thank you that you're for me. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Some days when we want to get up and the last thing we want to do is pray. You may have been battered around, bruised around, and you get up in the morning and it's in your face or whatever the situation may be, and the last thing you want to do is pray. It's our body. Our body wants to counteract our spirit. But when you've got this battle in front of you and it's been there for a while, we can get discouraged very, very easily. So I want to encourage you today, when we pray, to bring the weight into a part of your quiet time, into a part of time when you commune with God. Whatever may that look like for you, whether it's you wake up 10 minutes early and you say, before the stress of all that day, Jesus, I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on your Holy Spirit. Whether it's you're driving to work and instead of listening to a podcast on a Monday morning, you're just going to, God, I'm going to play a worship song and I'm not going to say a thing, and I'm just going to sit and I'm going to wait and I'm going to pray with you. Psalms 34, verse 17 to 20 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. In seasons of waiting, we need to talk with God. We need to plead with him, thank him, cry with him, just simply talk with him. It's a conversation. We've mentioned this before, and I'm sure you've heard the messages when we pray. Prayer isn't a one-way conversation. It's a two-way conversation. We pray, we listen, we sit with him, and this is why I love revival prayer. Some of us, every second Tuesday night here at church, and we've got it this week, in case you're free, on Tuesday night at 6:30, but we love revival prayer. I love revival prayer because not only do we pray for our church, do we pray for things going on in our own world, but most of the time there's a designated time in revival prayer to simply sit and wait. Regardless in your season of waiting, regardless of what's going on, there's a moment for us as a congregation, but even individually in your own spot around the auditorium when we pray, is to just sit and wait in the presence of God. So our first thing we need to do is pray. Our second thing that happens in a season of waiting is we need to hold on to promises. See, David waited 15 years to be the king of Israel. And in 2 Samuel verse 7, verse 13, where it's the story of David, it says, he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That was David's promise, in a nutshell. If you want to go read 2 Samuel chapter 7 in your Bible, you'll almost have a whole page that's titled God's Promise to David. David had a whole page. Sometimes we may not have a whole page, but we can be encouraged by David to seek after a promise from God. Your promise may even be a sentence. It may be a vision he's given you. It may be a Bible verse that you hold close to this situation. There's a giant in front of me, and it could be as simple as a Bible verse like Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You may not have a physical promise, but you can hold any scripture that suits to you, that you can hold and you can grab a hold of. And every time you pray, every time you sit, every time you wait, every time you have scriptures on your phone, on sticky notes, on mirrors, whatever it may look like. And you may not know the situation, but you can claim scripture and say, no, I will not fear because you are with me, God. And I will not be dismayed, for you are my God. You will strengthen me. You will help me. And you will hold me with your righteous right hand. You can grab that scripture and you can hold it to a promise. In seasons of waiting, it's so important to fill our mouth with the word of God. It's a weapon. We can use it in our prayer. We can use it to speak over ourselves. We can even use it to the words that God gives us. We can use it as a weapon. You know, the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. Weapons to fight battles, weapons to wait, weapons to speak over ourselves. So I encourage you, grab a word. When situations in the natural aren't going to plan, when we're waiting for that miracle, when we're waiting for that thing to come to pass, you can hold on to these promises that God gives us. And friend, I want to encourage you today, if you don't have a promise, if you don't have a scripture that you're fighting your battle with, ask God for one. He works in mysterious ways. He may not reveal a physical scripture like a rhema word that jumps out at you with his word, but the Holy Spirit works in miraculous ways. He can place friends and leaders and family around us that can hear from the Holy Spirit to speak through them to you. We can have visions in our sleep. We can have dreams in our sleep, whatever it may be. Ask God for a promise. I know he'll give you one. I know he'll give you one. In the book of Psalms, it's a great place to start. Obviously, the book of Psalms is huge, and it's also written, a lot of them, by David. But they're full of promises. So if you're struggling and you're just like, God, I keep asking, God, obviously, praise the Lord when that comes and we don't have to do anything. That's awesome. But sometimes we also need to be a wise steward and we go, hey, I've been asking, I'm going to read your word now. And I pray, and every single time you open your Bible, I just want to encourage you, every time I read my Bible and I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit wrote this book, the 66th book, and obviously it was written by man, but the main author is the Holy Spirit. So every single time I read my Bible, or if I'm fighting a battle, or if I need a promise, I just simply go, Holy Spirit, as I read this word, I pray that you speak to me. I pray that any words on this page, God, any words in the books, any words in the situation that happened in the past that I can use as a weapon to help me in my journey, Jesus, I pray that you use your power, that a rhema word will come off the page, that will impact my heart, that I can hold on to. See, that's one beautiful thing about God. We may not even know what the end of the tunnel looks like. When I first moved here, I didn't know what the end of the tunnel looked like. In my mind, the end of the tunnel was 12 months' time, production team, see you later, bye. That was my end of the tunnel. But when you wait on God, the end of the tunnel that he provides you exceeds all expectations. That scripture at the beginning, he will not disappoint you. Brings me to my third thing. So when we're doing that, waiting on God and trust that he has your back, because he does every single time. And it brings me to my third point, in a season of waiting, we need to trust God. Two simple words, but I know aren't simple sometimes on the inside. We can obviously say, oh yeah, I trust God, he has my back. It's all good, he's sweet. But on the inside, to actually genuinely have trust, complete and utter faith, trust his timing. Trust that he has your back. An incredible thing of trust is the simplicity of being still. It's less of the action. It's less of trying to pull things together. It's even less of the front-footed prayer, Jesus, do the miraculous. But it's being still. See, this can be really hard sometimes, especially if we're in the uncertainty of the situation, of what's going on, of not knowing, of not being in control. Not just trusting God's timing over our own timing, but trusting his outcome, even if it's not what we expected. Often we can pray for something and we, in our mind, we know what the result is. We pray for that result. We pray for the outcome. And sometimes God answers it with a different response. But we need to have the trust that his response, his outcome is good, even if we don't expect it. Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Sometimes we don't need to know what's going on. Sometimes we can't wrap our head around it. But we can just be confident knowing and being still that Jesus has got us. Be still and know that I am God, that he will be exalted. For me personally, I went through this, and some of you may have heard this story before, but when we go through seasons of waiting, that's out of our control. And so for me personally, a super quick story is a few years ago, one of my nephews had passed away. And it sucks when death happens around us because it's out of our control. But it can put us in a season of grief, and grief is good. But grief is something we need to go through. But it creates seasons of waiting. And for me personally, this with my nephew, I remember the day I got a text from my sister saying, things aren't looking too good. She texted our family saying, can we pray? And I remember sitting in my room, surprise, surprise, it was COVID. I couldn't do anything. But I remember that I just said a simple prayer, maybe went for 10 seconds, and then I just sat there. And I was genuinely scared. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But I sat, and I said, Lord, I'm being still, and I know that you're God. And even when a couple hours later when I got the phone call that nothing went well, and he's up with Jesus now, even still to this date, the waiting still hasn't ended. Because to be honest with you, I don't know why. And the truth is, on this side of eternity, I probably will never know that why it happened. And I feel as though that some of us here today, that there's situations that on this side of eternity, we genuinely will not know. And I'm sorry that's going to happen. But there's one thing we can make sure of, and we can be still and know that he is God. That no matter the situation, that he will be exalted. No matter what the situation, his name will be exalted. In the moments of uncertainty, we need to draw close to him. See, waiting encourages intimacy with Jesus, putting our complete and utter trust in our Father in heaven that loves us so much, that if he's for us, and if he is for us, who can be against us? In those moments of uncertainty, we need to draw close to him, seek his guidance, seek his comfort and his strength. See, our waiting becomes a sacred place where we listen to his voice. We discern his will, and we surrender our desire to his plan. Sometimes we need to scratch up our plan and say, God, that your plan be just. Friends, sometimes we don't know the answer. And as I mentioned before, if you are here today, and there will be situations and we just don't know the answer. And there'll be a moment shortly where we can reach out to God, we can wait on God, and I just want you to be real with him. And if you've never done it before, if you've never been real with God, and you know, often we can put on the big battle like, oh, I'm okay, I'm okay. But Jesus wants to know exactly how you're feeling. He knows how you're feeling. Commune with him, speak with him. And as those situations come up, as those things come up that we don't have control of, we can take heart and know that God, you are still God. Whatever the enemy intended for evil, I know you will turn for good. We can trust his process. Whilst we're waiting, and often this isn't just waiting on the waiting zone of Jesus, but this is in all areas. One thing waiting does, it builds our patience. As I mentioned before, our first question, who's an impatient person? I reckon about 95% of the room put up their hand, which means that 95% of us, when we struggle with waiting, we need to have patience as we go through that waiting. See, patience is not merely the ability to wait, but it's how we behave whilst we wait. It's about trusting God's timing, even if it doesn't align with our own. Through waiting, God molds our character, teaching us to rely on him complete and utterly. We need to rely on Jesus. We need to put our trust in him. And I know so many of us already do that, but as I mentioned before, we need to genuinely do it, believe it. Not just say it and say, yeah, God, I trust you, and we ignore it, but the actual faith on the inside of your heart that he's got your back, that he trusts you no matter what. that you trust him no matter what. The fourth point, as I invite up the band, if that's all good, we'll finish shortly, but the spirit fingers are very nice. The fourth point, every season of waiting has the end. This one's real simple, the end. Every season of waiting has an end. We may not know when, we may not know how, we may not know why, but God does, and it will end. Some of them we have to go on the, and as I was sharing with my nephew, that battle, that waiting season, that may not end until I spend eternity with Jesus. And then I can ask him, what went on? And that is the truth with some of our situations, that on this side of eternity, we won't know the answer. But there is an end. There is an end. We need to pray, we need to hold on to promises, and we need to trust God in the process for this end to come to pass. And my prayer for us today, that you today in your seat, that you would have two outcomes knowing about your waiting. The first is that your waiting will lead to a greater blessing, just like Joseph. And the second is that your waiting becomes a testimony of your faith in God's faithfulness. That people can see you and they look at you and go, hey, I know that they're fighting this battle. Or they can look at you and go, hey, I know they fought the battle. They stayed faithful the whole time. I pray that our friends and family around us that don't know Jesus will look at each and every single one of us when we're in a season of waiting and going, that person's going through some absolute struggles. But the fact that they still love people, the fact that they're still happy, I pray that your testimony will show the faithfulness of you and your faith, but through Jesus. And we pray that our battles, that our waiting, that our whatever's going on, that we can use and say, God, I know it was pooey in the season, but I thank you for what you've done now. And I pray that this situation, this story, this testimony will bring glory to you, will bring glory to your name. See, David had a full page of promises from God, and God did fulfill that promise. But the truth is, Joseph had no idea where he'd end up. He would have dreams of things bowing down to him and all that kind of stuff, but he didn't know what it was about. The end of Genesis 41, we read that Pharaoh who put Joseph in charge of everything, he had dreams, but he had no idea that he would become second in command of Egypt. God exceeded his plan, exceeded his waiting. I pray that your waiting will lead to great blessing, that your waiting becomes a testimony of your faith in God's faithfulness. And I am running out of time, but I'll quickly share the fifth one, if you're taking notes. And the last one is the truth that in a season of waiting, we undergo transformation. There's a reason why I left this one very last, because obviously transformation happens in the moment. The moment we get saved, the moment we give our heart to Jesus, the gift of sanctification grace comes upon us and it transforms us. And it's the exact same for when we wait. It transforms us. But there's a reason I left it last, because often it's not until after the battle's over that we realize that the transformation's happened. See, waiting, it transforms our character. Waiting, it deepens our relationship with God as we learn to rely on him. We transform in our everyday life as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. That the fruits of the Spirit are cultivated during a season of waiting. From patience, patience is built. Perseverance is built. Faith is built. And often we don't realize that until after the situation's over. Because then it's a character it's a transformation that's happened on the inside of us. So then when the next battle comes along, when the next season of waiting comes, we can hold that. That can become our promise. You can go, God, I know that what's going on right now, it's not fun, it's not looking good, but I know you did this for me. You did this for me, and I know you'll do it again. The transformation happens. It transforms us, it equips us for every season of waiting that may be thrown at us. Can we all just stand really quickly? See, waiting is an essential part of life. It's something we encounter repeatedly in our walk with God. We can't avoid it. It's essential. But I want to encourage us today. God wants to encourage you today. Don't let your waiting season wear you out. God has a purpose in your waiting, friend. Stay faithful to God. and trust that his promise for you is coming. Whether the season of waiting comes or whether it's the season of waiting you're in right now, never give up. Push forward, push on. Lean into your Father in heaven who has your back, who's got you. Psalm 27:13, I'm going to add 14 on the end of it this time as well. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. The only way to go through our waiting season is to not give up and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one that's got the whole situation under plan. He knows what's going on. So we're going to take a moment very shortly to do just that. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. And in a moment, I just wanted to encourage you out of those five things to write down on a piece of paper, write on your phone, whatever that may be, that God's revealing to you today. What can you do differently? What does he need to spark on the inside of you again? Is it your prayer life? Is it that there's the waiting season you're in right now, you've given up? You've given up and gone, it's been too long. It's just part of life. I'm stuck with it now. He wants to encourage you. Pray. Commune with him. Ask him. Tell him your struggles. Tell him what you're going through. Is it to receive a promise? You may be fighting a battle, but you don't have a scripture that you can hold on to. A scripture that you can pray every single day, pray every single morning, every night when you go to bed. But I will not fear, for God, you are with me. Is it the fact that you just need to trust Jesus? That you just need to be still and know that he is God? We're going to take a moment, and I've asked the band to sing for us, and I'm not going to get you up to lay hands on anything, but I just want, if you feel comfortable in this moment, to sit and be still. This week when I was preparing this message, when I asked God what he wanted me to speak about, as much as it was about the waiting, we go through that, but I felt strongly that the Holy Spirit wanted us today just to sit and be still. Know that he is God. Know that he has your back. What does your season of waiting look like? Can I just get all of us to close our eyes really quickly, just out of respect, out of everyone? Trust God and his timing. Trust he has your back. No matter the season you're going through, whether it's a diagnosis of you, whether it's a diagnosis that the doctor's given a family member, whether it's the financial stress that's on your world in today's society, whether it's emotional healing, spiritual healing, whether it's a son, a daughter, a father, a mother, a brother or sister that's strayed from God and you're waiting for them to come home. No matter your waiting season, just be still and know that he is God. I'm going to invite the band to sing this song over us, and I want us to actually not sing.